One Hand Speaks. Hey, hey, my friends. This is Alejandro Anastasio with the One Hand Speaks Storytelling Podcast. Humorous, intimate, and enlightening one-handed stories about life and beyond. 20 years at the same job. Not anymore. Yeah, here we go. Okay, my friends. Podcast number 96. This one is about spending the last 20 years at the same job. And I say that now in a funny kind of way because, well, who really knows you're going to be anywhere for 20 years? And when I first acquired the job, I didn't really think I was going to be there that long, or at least not in that position, or that building, or that location, or that department. Just to be a little bit clear, I have not only had the same job, I have worked pretty much in the same corner of the same department in the same building for 20 years. And I have worked directly with the same person for 18 years. Now, there's some quality to that. There's certainly some quality to that. Now, I work for the Bureau of Reclamation as a graphic designer, graphic artist slash illustrator. I've taken care of websites. I've done design work for websites, did map design. The list is long. I don't necessarily want to get into that. But to think that I've been in the same place for 20 years, wow. Now, when I first got hired into Reclamation, there were two illustrators there before me. Old school chaps, Dennis and Merlin. These guys were great. They had both been working as illustrators, formal illustrators. They both illustrated very well for over 30 years, 35 years. Just astounding, astounding. And actually, Merlin, I saw him hand draw a map and use Leroy lettering to finalize the map's copy, its text, especially in the legend. And that, you don't really see that kind of design work done anymore. He worked on it for an hour and a half a day for almost 2 months. He hand drew the entire map. And that's some old school skill right there. And he was also the one that made Macintosh happen at my location. He was the one that got into computers early and that led into, well, me just using Macintosh for the last 20 years. Whoa! And the other guy, Dennis, these guys were just old school quality graphic design illustrators. They did both the design work and the illustrators. And I got hired into the government. It seemed like a good gig at the time. Oh, okay, let me back it up. It was a great gig. It's been a great gig, don't get me wrong. Before I was fortunate enough to get the job, I had already been living in Boise for about a year and a half. This is a great story. When I moved to Boise, at some point, I ended up seeing this older guy around town. Now, I was probably in my late 20s. He was probably in his early 60s. But I'd see him around in a lot of cool places. And we always had this kind of psychic soul connection. We would just look at each other for a moment. It was always in passing, like, oh, yeah, okay, you, I see you. And at some point, I'm going to want to talk to you. And this happened a number of times over the course of a year. And then one day, I was going to a friend's party. This guy, Nate, he threw some pretty good parties. As I was going in, this guy was walking out. And we saw each other again and kind of smiled. He just pulled out his card and gave it to me. And he said, you know, you should learn to play the didgeridoo. And he walked off. Later in the party, I'm looking at his card, and it's a gray card. It's real simple. And all it says in the middle is Tom Bray, artist. That's it. Now, it's funny. It's not funny. It's more than coincidental. My last podcast was about breaking my collarbone. And it was during this time when I broke my right collarbone for the first time I broke my collarbone, it was my right collarbone. And as I was healing, that's when I met this guy. And I thought, oh, now that I don't have anything to do and I don't really have a job anymore, this was before I went on my road trip. I thought, well, now would be a good time to learn how to play the didgeridoo. And I've been playing the didgeridoo for the last 20 years. That's my main musical axe right there. But I went to go talk to this guy. We made a deep connection. Come to find out, this guy is a professional artist. He spent his whole life as an artist. He's a kind of like a blacksmith artist. He hand pounds sculptures, does high-end metalwork. And he was just telling me about life as an artist. And he said, you know, I've stuck to my guns my whole life. I never sold out. I only made the art that I wanted to make. And yeah, I've sold some art and I'm pretty well known and I work as an art teacher a little bit. But to tell you the truth, that lifestyle, you know who really suffered? Was my wife and children. And if I could do it all over again, I would do what I'm doing right now. He actually had kind of a part-time gig. I mean, he was manufacturing these tables that were semi-cookie cutter, not really. But basically, he said, it's exactly the kind of work I didn't want to do. But I make really good money at it, and it's very consistent. And it allows me the opportunity to do what I want to do. And he was looking at me as a young artist, up-and-coming artist. And he said, you know, I'm sharing that advice with you because, well, my family suffered, and I'm in my 60s, and it's only now that it's really things are working for me as an artist financially. And I want to share that with you in your late 20s so you can move forward as an artist in a wiser way. But he said, you know what I would do is I would find somewhere that people are paying for art, and you should do that part-time so you can live the way that you want to and make the art that you want to. And I took that to heart, and I had a right broken collarbone. So basically, I wasn't doing that much, except at that point playing the didgeridoo and contemplating how I could spend the rest of my life as an artist. Now, just a side story, I have that podcast about the influence that my art teacher had on me. She had the option of getting me suspended or putting me on the right track. And she did. It's a great podcast. You should listen to that because my high school art teacher changed my life. And basically, instead of getting me expelled, she pretty much just said to me, you know, Alejandro, not everybody could live their life as an artist and make it work, but you could. And the world needs more artists like you. And so in my late 20s, I spent a lot of time thinking about that, especially after meeting Tom Bray, and I came to the conclusion that graphic design is a form of art that people pay for in the mainstream consistently. And then lo and behold, my mom knew a guy that was hiring at the federal government. My mom helped me get this job. Give it up for Mama. Yeah, this guy was looking to hire Hispanics, and I have a disability, which is an extra bonus because I can get hired in under Schedule A, which is non-competitive hiring. So I actually volunteered at this job for a couple months at no cost, just worked for free. And then I eventually got a contract gig, and then I eventually got hired in Schedule A as an illustrator and graphic designer. Well, I like to say an artist for the government, for the federal government. And I have been there for 20 years this past January 3rd, my 20-year mark at the Gov. What an amazing journey. And now I'm just coming back to the straight point. I'll put a link in the podcast on my website for that story about Mrs. Hendricks, my high school art teacher, changing my life. She was an art teacher at St. Joseph High School in South Bend, Indiana. That's where I grew up. That's where I went to high school. That woman changed my life. Indeed, indeed. And I to this day, I've spent my entire life as an artist. And I credit so much of that to Mrs. Hendricks, having faith in me at a time when I really needed it, and at a very crucial time also, because she could have gone the other way and things could have really turned south quick. But here I am, 20 years later, working for the man, working for the federal government. And it's interesting because, yeah, I have worked in the same building, in the same corner, with the same people, in the same department, doing the same thing for 20 years. Now, there's some quality there. There's some true quality there. And you know, it's interesting because not having two hands helped me get this job in a non-competitive format. And I'm very creative. So it was somewhat easy to get the job. You know, I have a lot of work to do as a designer, but as far as creativity goes, it's no question there. And we can always be better at things. I can always be a better designer. But I've put my 20 years down, and it's been such a blessing and such a blast. I've had a lot of fun working there, and it's been a great gig. It's been really challenging. It's been a lot of fun. I've had a lot of great experiences. They've been very supportive. As my dad was dying, as I was taking care of my mother when she got so sick, she almost died. And then as my martial arts school was falling apart, it just, you know, the job's stable. People ask me why I work for the federal government, why I have a federal gig. And I just tell people, you know what? Stable. Yeah. Whoa. Wow, that job is stable. And that's beneficial not only as an artist, but just based on the last 20 years of my life, that's been really, really important. And I'll tell you, working when I first started working there in late 1998, everybody that I worked with in my department, not everyone, but the majority of people were all in their late 50s, early 60s, and had all been working for the government for 35 years or longer. I had already thought that was amazing. And then both Dennis and Merlin had been working as illustrators for the past 35, almost 40 years. And then here I am. I never thought I would work at the same job for 20 years. And when I got hired in, people were amazed that I was actually working for the government, working as a federal employee, civil service, you know? Really, really quite interesting. Really quite interesting. And then, you know, let me say this. The past is only a moment. All my past, all 20 years, just feels like a moment ago. And that's the quality of the single present moment. The past is always just a moment away. And I would hear this all the time as people retired. Oh, I can't believe how fast 20 years went by. 40 years have gone by. Doesn't feel like anything. And you know what? It doesn't. I have 20 years. That's like a milestone in the government or anywhere. I mean, just to say that you've been a federal employee for 20 years. But I've been in the same building. I don't want to go through the list again. Same building, same job, all of that. And at my presentation, they gave me a plaque. I had to do the grip and grin. I got a 20-year pin. Our regional director, she shook my hand. She said, you know, it's rare that I can say this, but Alejandro has done 20 years all here at Reclamation. And then that's when I had to jump in. Yes, and that's 20 years in the same department, in the same building, in the same corner with the same person. I have one coworker that I've worked with for 18 years. Wow. Wow, that's real. That means something. That's so special. But you know, all that is coming to an end. I'm in transition. I've taken a detail in another department. And I was telling this to my brother. And his jaw hit the ground. He was stunned. He had to take two steps back. He couldn't even speak. He couldn't even find his jaw. He said, what? And I said, yes, I'm finding a new job. I'm finding a new job. It's a challenge. It's a little bit of a challenge. You know, it's very difficult to think about being at one job for 20 years. But I also think what's more difficult is contemplating leaving that job. And then what is more difficult than contemplating leaving that job is actually doing it. And I've done it. I've spent my first week. I'm 1.5 weeks into. Tomorrow's Wednesday. That's a week and a half. At my new position. And yeah, of course, it's on one level absolutely terrifying. It's kind of a whole new area for me. It's IT work. And it's totally out of the box, And every day I think, wow, is this really uncomfortable? I still do design work a little bit based on my new duties somewhat require it. And I'm in a what's called a detail. It's a temporary position. I have 120 days in this new position. And then when it's over, we'll decide whether or not I can stay, whether or not they want me, whether or not I can stay. But it's really feeling like that's where I'm going to be. The people above me in my new position want me there. I want to be there. You know, I work with a lot of cool people. And even in the illustration department here in the Pacific Northwest Regional Center for the Bureau of Reclamation, there's a lot of cool people that work there too. But I do get to carry some of my design creative skills over there, which is such a benefit. And I get to take my Macintosh with me into the IT department, right? This is like going into the dragon's mouth. Macintosh in IT. And in the government, that's usually those two words don't go together, but they're actually going in that direction. So, and I have a lot of Macintosh IT skills. I've actually been doing a lot of it for 20 years, which helped me move over into that area. But it is challenging. Wow. And sometimes I spend most of my day not quite knowing how to do what I need to do. Brand new job, brand new position. And it's terrifying. I have a lot of intrepidation sometimes, and sometimes some doubt creeps up. I spend a lot of time working on PCs now on an IT level. I don't even know that much about them, but I'm willing to learn. They're willing to train me. And it is certainly a process. And then the last couple of days, I've been doing some design work. And you know, what's interesting is I'm so comfortable there because I've been doing it for 20 years. So part of the day I'm doing stuff I have no idea really how to do. And the other half, I know what to do. And it's this interesting dichotomy that I'm kind of dealing with. Like one feels so comfortable, like, oh, maybe I should stay there. And the other one feels so, it's just so absolutely terrifying. Maybe I shouldn't stay there. But you know, if when you're uncomfortable, you grow. And I want to grow. I want to do different things. It's not that I don't like design work, and I'm still being creative, but it just has a different capacity. And there are a lot of other reasons why I'm changing that I don't really need to mention. I'm just mostly talking about, well, just about being in one job for one place that really was the result of me having one hand. That was a real benefit that made hiring me very easy. It made it so much easier because of their non-competitive Schedule A policy, right? And then I'd already done a lot of work. You know, it worked out really well. And that was when I was making the pitch to transfer into this other department. It was going really well. And at the end, I said, okay, this is basically the cherry on top, is that if everything works out well, I'm an easy hire under Schedule A. It's non-competitive. There's no issue there. If I'm qualified, then Schedule A works. And I want this to be understood. If I don't qualify, I can't use a Schedule A hiring process. It doesn't work like that. It's not a gimme. It's not an in. But if you're qualified, there you go. And I'm qualified, and I'm working on more qualifications, so there it is. All of a sudden, I'm the IT Mac guy, officially, after 20 years of doing it in the dark, so to speak. I used to say that I was IT2 for Mac. I worked on the Mac network for 7 years. I took the machines apart. I put them back together. I take care of all the print drivers. I do all the troubleshooting. I set up all the machines. I do all the research on buying new computers. I've changed out chips. I've done the whole Franken-Mac, Frankenstein thing. I've done it all. I got some techie skills. It's great. And it helped me acquire a new gig because my life is changing. My life is changing, and because of that, things need to change. Things need to change. I'm going to be living with my mom on my own for a little bit. It's just going to be her and I, and she doesn't make more income. I need to produce more income. And it's just, I have to be in a position, to take care of her, and I also need to be in a position long term for more potential growth. You know, there wasn't so much growth in my old position, but it served me well. I really want to say that it served me well. In the last 6 years, 7 years, 6 years, I was able to take two months off a year. And that's been so beneficial. And in 2017, I took 3 months off leave without pay. So I could spend 2 months in a Buddhist monastery, and then I spent 1 month on a Buddhist medical mission and pilgrimage to China. I went to the Shaolin Temple. I went to the Dzogchen Monastery. I did a week's worth of medical mission out there. So it's been very beneficial. I went to the 2014 World Championships of Public Speaking. I spent 2 months in Europe. I was on a speaking tour for 3 weeks. I did four countries there. Oh, I had a great time. That was 2015. In 2012, 2013, I did two-month internships at a Buddhist monastery, and then same thing in 2015 and 16. So the job's been very beneficial, but like I said, my life's changing. I'm going to need to produce more money, and I need some expansion. I need to be able to move up a little bit in this next second half here, taking care of my mom. This is great advice I got from one of my senseis when I opened my dojo. He asked me, I was talking about how I'm not getting a lot of momentum in my adult class. And he asked me about my kids' classes. And he said, well, what's working? I was like, well, the kids' classes seem to be just growing like weeds. I mean, the kids are coming out of nowhere. And he said, well, basically, it doesn't matter what you want. You got to work what's working. And yeah, I spent a number of years as a professional speaker. I've spoken in 8 different countries. I've spoken to kids all over the United States. I've done 2 TEDx talks, and I went to the World Championships of Public Speaking for Toastmasters. So I've done some great things, and I'm still working on making a living at that. But I also, at the same time, got to work what's working, and my day job's working. And I'm in transition, so on one level, I need to stabilize. But it's been real special, real supportive, real stable, real quality work, working for reclamation inside the U.S. Department of Interior as a federal employee. And I want to give props to Uncle Sam. That's right. It's like working for the king. That's what my Buddhist teacher, Dzogchen Kempo Choga Rinpoche, said. He said, oh, if you work for the federal government, and then he kind of looked over at me, he's like, Alejandro, you need to understand this. If you work for the federal government, that's like working for the king in India in the time of Gautama Siddhartha. If you worked for the king, right, you worked inside his palace, you had access to his things, so to speak, they were around you, you had that life, that job your whole life, and you lived well. I mean, that was the job that everybody wanted, was working for the king. And he's like, you know, so there it is. And that bit of advice has really helped me out as I've moved through time as a federal employee for 20 years. I mean, it's certainly a roller coaster at times, but overall, it's been a great ride up and a great ride down. And now this ride has taken a deep, deep turn with some twists coming up. And you know what? It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And part of my ability to be able to make this transition, or the potential of it, is that there's that Schedule A avenue with the right qualifications. I can be a somewhat easier hire. And I've already worked in the building. I've been working with these people for a long time. It's really good. It's a good fit. So I'm very, very grateful to be at the same job for 20 years. And as the regional director said, you know, Alejandro, you've been here 20 years. We'd like to see you do another 20. That might be a little stretch at my age, but you never know. You never know. You know, they say 50 is the new 30, but they say that all the time. 40 is the new 20, right? 60 is the new 50. 60 is the new 40. However you want to look at it. However you want to look at it. But I am looking forward to spending more time as a federal employee. And that's not only a benefit for me, It's a benefit for Reclamation too, because they're going to need the MAC support as things start coming up. And it's also a benefit for my mother, because I have stable income. It's easier to take care of her. Yeah, it's just there's so many benefits right now. And I want to be real fortunate. I want to look at it in a fortunate format. And I want to work on my gratitude and contentment. Some deeper Buddhist teachings coming out here. I'm in a very good position. There's 4 billion people wish they had my job, my situation. Well, we can always think that things should be better, but what's important is to be content with what we have, what I have. And let me just say it for me, just to be content with what I have, because I'm doing okay. So let me give props up as I bring this podcast to a close. You know, just let me say thanks, Uncle Sam, and let me check out this one time one hand speaks at the same job, 20 years, starting a new direction. Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Alejandro with One Hand Speaks. Find me online at onehandspeaks.com and all your social media outlets.